All right, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that your word is alive and full of power, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God, help us by teaching us, leading us, guiding us, bringing us into all truth. Cause us to understand, to comprehend your word so that we may use it. We're going to use it for every part of our lives. Thank you, Lord, that the entrance of your word brings light, illumination. We can't be in darkness. That doesn't work. So you will show us your truth. Teach us, God. Help us now to see what you have for us. And we'll give you the glory for the victory. In Jesus' name, we call it done. And everybody said, amen. Let's make a confession. Say, this is my Bible. I am what the Word of God says that I am. I have what the Word of God says that I have. I can do what the Word of God says that I can do. I am a hearer of God's Word on purpose. But I'm not just a hearer. I'm also a doer of God's word. And because I am a hearer and a doer of the word of God, my life is blessed. This is my Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated. Why don't you give somebody a high five as you sit down? Say, you're part of this vision too. Tell them, you're part of this vision too. Praise God. All right, let's go on our Bibles. I want to talk a little bit. I've got three different areas that I want to touch on. Obviously, I don't have enough time to do it all, but I'll do as much as I can, okay? But three different areas to touch on today. I said this a while ago, that an unthankful heart is what the prodigal son's brother had. He was unthankful. He didn't even appreciate that his brother came back. Now, I'm taking us back a couple of weeks, maybe even 3 weeks in our teaching, because we're attaching all these things together. We started with Joshua and Achan and Ai and the problems that they had with 36 men getting killed over the fact that Achan stole the accursed thing and put it in with his stuff, and it caused Israel to lose. And I was teaching you then that you're not supposed to lose. I'll say it again. You are not supposed to lose. Well, what about I do, Pastor? You keep playing until you win. The game ain't over until you win. Not this game. It ain't over until you win. So you keep playing. You never quit. Okay, now the sure thing to make sure that you're going to lose is for you to quit. If you quit, you will lose. But if you do not quit, you will win. Say, I will win. Now, there's two things to be thankful for. And sometimes people have a tough time being thankful. It's like, thankful for what? Or how am I supposed to be so thankful? Go with me, please, to Isaiah 46:10. I'll write this down, please. It says, it was done when he said it. Please write that down. It was done when he said it. Come on now, write it down if you can. If you can't write it down, put it in your phone, do something. It was done when he said it. These are things you need to remember when you say, well, why should I be so thankful? Well, you should be done because what you've been believing for was done when he said it. Your healing was done when he said it. And for most of us, 2,000 years ago, Jesus said it. He said, it is finished. So we should be thankful. We should be really, really thankful people. We should be the kind of people that have a sort of a culture of thankfulness. You know, when they see Christians, they should see a culture of thankfulness. You know how different companies have culture? Yeah, there's a company culture. It's new to us up here, but we saw it down in Portland, Vancouver, when we were ministering there, and we're going back there, by the way. But anyhow, we saw it down in Portland, Vancouver, a coffee place, Dutch Brothers, I think it is, Dutch Bros. Anyhow, and they got a completely different culture than Starbucks. Completely different. And I'm not going to take the time to explain their culture or whatever, but, you know, they both basically sell the same thing. Coffee, mochas, you know what I mean? You know, the stuff that my son-in-law has been hooked on for years, and I've been trying to get him off of it, but you can tell when you look in his eyes, he's got a problem. It's just too much caffeine. That's what makes his beard grow, actually. He keeps drinking that caffeine. Just kidding. I'll pay for it tomorrow when he comes by the house.
But seriously, different cultures, different churches have different cultures of the way they conduct themselves. I watch all of the different, you know, ministries, Catholics, there's some born again Catholics, you know, Church of God in Christ, Methodists, Lutherans, Presbyterians, you know, Baptists, different cultures, different flavors. And even the non-denominational churches like ours have a certain flavor. But you need to know that it is over. It is done because he said it. Look at what it says, Isaiah 46:10. It says, and this is a principle. This is a principle. This is an important thing right here. You need to log this in the back of your book, your Bible. You need to write it in the back of your Bible. Declaring, this is how God acts. Declaring the end from the beginning. So as soon as God says it, it's done. I said, as soon as God says it, it's done. And this is why people come and sometimes they don't understand. Words are so powerful in the kingdom of God. God spoke his word and said, let there be, and there was. Jesus said to the demons in the pigs over there at that cliff that they ran off, I told them, he just said to the pigs, go. And they caused the pigs to run because the demonic forces in them was in them, driving them, drove them over. We saw that cliff, by the way, over there in Israel. It's right between Israel and I think it's Iraq. Anyhow, went down the cliff. Why? He said, go. Words are important. Now listen, you have to settle in your life that the word of God is the final authority. That when you find it in the word and it's rightly divided to you, that's important. When you find it in the word of God, that settles it. All the arguments are over. Especially in a Christian household. Now, we're talking about trying to get back to this man that came to himself, this prodigal son. But the prodigal son didn't only have a problem. And I told the father, stop blaming yourself. Or the parents, stop blaming yourself for stupid stuff the kids do. And of course, I told you my story about me going off, getting drunk and laughing at the animals at Port Defiance and getting kicked out of school and had to face my dad, who worked at the jail, and tell him that I got kicked out of school. He said, let me just take you where you're going to end up with these idiots that you're running with. But I could have ended up worse because most of them are dead now. All my buddies, just about. So we need to know that there was a decision. But see, the son that was the older was still at home. But he was not thankful. But the Bible here says, you should be thankful because he declares the end from the beginning. When God says it, it's done. So you ought to thank God that he said, by his stripes you were healed. And if you were, then you are. If you are, you is healed. Now we're waiting for the manifestation to catch up to the word of God. So we use our faith to believe that that's going to happen. That the manifestation of that cancer dying is going to happen because of my faith. And I express my faith with action. And one of those actions is praising God. We need to thank God more. The Lord said, I'm changing the channels on you right now. Last week I told you, don't let any alcohol in your house for Thanksgiving. I think I blew some people out. Because their alcohol is more important than God. You have to deal with that. Because you're using the wrong substance to deal with life. You sedate yourself with alcohol, some with marijuana. Now, I told you the Lord just had me change channels. This was one of the second things I had to deal with today. I told you there's three, and he advanced this one because I guess Thanksgiving is coming up. Why don't you have a Thanksgiving without drinking?
I mean, how did that go together anyhow? Why you got to be drunk? Why you got to drink? Why you got to have that little liquor on your breath and your kids watching you? Grandkids. This old drunk uncle. He's going to come over with his bottle. He's just a little one now, and he got another one in his back pocket. See, we have to take control of this. He wants you to be able to. You do not need alcohol. You don't need it. You don't need it. Jesus is not a wino. As he is, so are we in this world. We learn that. Is Jesus a wino? Does he do some teetotaling next to the Father? No. You don't need it. What you need is to talk to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing, make melody in your heart, and get drunk off the Word and off the Holy Spirit. You get tied into God, you'll be like you're drunk. People will think you're drunk. Man, what's wrong with you? You know, see, I talk like a drunk man sometimes, like I'm just talking about all these big vision stuff. People are like, what have you been drinking this morning for breakfast? The Holy Ghost? I had a drink. Y'all, some of y'all sitting there just rolling your eyes, just rolling your eyes. But see, I saw it 36 years ago when I said, we're going to have a boy. Yeah, sure. I know. 50-50 chance. No, it ain't. It's 100% boy. Now, that doesn't make him, you know, God or something, but it just shows you God answers prayer. And I didn't, my wife and I weren't the first ones that started praying. Our daughters, Dane and Monet, they started praying. And they started saying, we want a brother. And then their faith went into action. They took a spare room we had, started decorating in all blue. Blue balloons, blue everything. Came up with a song, started singing about it's a boy, it's a boy, it's a boy. Some song that came up and it was just, y'all, we're going to have a brother. I'm looking at guys and we are. Their faith started working and then we joined in with them. Now, why is that important? Because the fulfillment of this vision is continuing with the birth of my son and the inclusion of my son-in-laws. Because they were included on the plane. Now, you can do what you want with that. You can sabotage things. You can blow it up. You can say, I don't believe that. I don't want to do it. Just like you can be able to go and receive healing for cancer and go out of here and not hang on to it. Or you can say, I ain't thinking about it. Jesus was a wino. He made water into wine. That was not fermented wine. It didn't have time to ferment. It was more like juice. You lush, you looking for an excuse. You don't have, and if it was wine, what's it to you? You can't handle it. See, and we have to realize God wants us to not be tripped up by the same thing the world's tripped up with. And I'm on assignment to help you with this. And if the shoe fits, buy a couple pair. The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. And sometimes it costs you to live in the truth. Now the Lord's saying, stay on it. Get the alcohol out of your house and you will get the curse off your life, off your marriage, and off your income and relationships. Get the alcohol out of your house. I don't care if it's baby beer or kitty beer, as they call it in Germany. Get the alcohol out of your house, and you will get the curse off your family. But if you want the curse, ignore me. You want the enemy to have rule and reign over your household? Ignore what I'm saying. Just do what you want to do, because that's what you're going to do. And you know what? I won't even know the difference till they call me and tell you you're in the hospital. I've been saying that legalizing marijuana, and I talked to the state of Washington's rulers, the leaders, with all due respect, governor, mayors, city councils, legislators, I'm speaking to you. Having marijuana legalized in this state for recreation is a mistake. Your own university, the medical center at University of Washington, just came out with a study that has now been codified by the medical industry that there's a syndrome that goes along with cannabis use. The syndrome includes severe stomach aches and continual vomiting. They wondered what it was until the University of Washington studied, their medical team studied it, and now it's been codified in the medical journals across the country and around the world. It's a syndrome. So you can keep pushing them to smoke that stuff, but their body is trying to tell them, get rid of it. I've been preaching this for the longest. Many of the THCs, the drugs that are in smoking dope, in that dope, we don't even know what it does to the human beings. You don't need that. For one thing, weed ain't that habit for me, have that much habit for me. It's not like alcohol or even cigarettes, which is the most addictive drug known to man. Tobacco. Okay. Look up, I've got it if you want it. I've got it. I'll post it next week if I need to. The article from Como News in Seattle reporting that it's been accepted by the medical journals across the country, around the world, that this is the syndrome. It happens within 24 hours of you utilizing that marijuana. Now, some people say it's good for medicinal use. Most of those people are lying in the first place. Next of all, there's very few people that really need that. And for the Christian, I'll say, why don't you pray? Besides, the Lord said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. He didn't say, I'm the weed that heals you. You just need an excuse to smoke. And you look like you smoke. You look goofy. Just my opinion. Just saying. So here's the good news. For your problems, you get the double. When the enemy takes you into a challenge, God comes back and doubly bless you. So whatever you're into, as soon as you get delivered from that, you get the double. Go with me to Isaiah 61 and 7. Embarrassed? Have you embarrassed yourself with that weed? Have you embarrassed yourself with that alcohol? Them drugs? The behavior? Acting stupid? Saying stupid stuff? The Bible talks about this alcohol. It says wine is a mocker. The wine bottle, the contents of that will mock you. How do you like to be mocked by a stupid liquid? Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. I like to say you're a fool. Why would you let alcohol cause you to be mocked? Why would you let alcohol cause you to go into a rage? I'm gonna get you! If you really got in a fight, you get your rear end kicked. Because you're not ready. You don't want to fight with me. No, I want you to go to sleep. what it says in another translation? A drunkard is obnoxious, loud, and argumentative. You're a fool to be intoxicated with strong drink. I'll leave that one alone. Another one says, wine produces mockers. Alcohol leads to brawls. Those led astray by drink cannot be wise. You can't be wise. The same scripture. I'm just giving you other translations, but I'm not telling you where it comes from. Do you want to know where it came from? That's the New Living Translation. The one before that was the TPT, same scripture. The TPT. Proverbs 20 and verse number 1. Okay? You can go ahead and put it on the screen. In fact, put the TPT on the screen. Okay? So Jesus was not a wino. Now, I have to deal with this, okay? I don't know who I'm talking to. I don't go over your house. I don't know nothing about you. I'm not one of these pastors that's always every Sunday looking for another congregation member to go eat some chicken with. Oh, you relate. I'm not that kind of guy. I don't need that. I don't do that. So I'm not interested in trying to talk about you specifically and try to make you feel embarrassed or whatever. But if for some reason alcohol has made you shame, go to that Isaiah 61:7. It says, for your shame, you shall have the double. So if you've gone through all kinds of mess, you need to say, God, thank you for delivering me, but I need my double now. Double blessing. We're talking about double blessing, double financial return, double for what your trouble was. You get double for your trouble when the enemy messes with you, but then you give your life to Jesus Christ. And some of us are so quiet, we won't even demand what is ours. He stole from you. The Bible says when a thief is found out, he's supposed to pay 7 times. And the enemy's been stealing from you. He's been lying to you that you look good drunk. You look powerful when you're drinking. Smoking that weed is how you get good friends. All of that's a big fat lie. But you get double for your shame. If you've been shamed, the enemy is going to see you get double. Say double. It says, and for your confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. God's going to turn that confusion into rejoicing. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess the double. An everlasting joy shall be unto them. So if you've been embarrassed through these actions that you've taken, that the enemy has pulled you into, you need to get ready for the double. Just get delivered first. Say, I'm done with that life. I will not live that life again. I turn my back on that mess. I'm not, you know, I don't care if you put 15,000 bottles of alcohol around me. I would not drink one. I'm not tempted. Okay? So you got to get to the point where some things you're past that. You're past that. Now, why am I preaching this? Because we're going to have Thanksgiving in a couple of days. And I want you to have a happy Thanksgiving. People always say happy Thanksgiving, and then they go have a terrible time at Thanksgiving. So how was your Thanksgiving? It wasn't happy. So what happened? Well, Uncle James came over again with that bottle.
Really?
Yeah. And he started drinking, and then Auntie Susie said, why are you drinking? He said, because I like it, and it makes my throat burn. And he just stayed there drinking. I'm trying to, now, for those of you that are not dealing with this, apply it to other areas. You're a gossiper. Third thing I had to deal with. Go with me to another area. See, we have to deal with the stuff that's messing us up. I can't come here and say, you're blessed. First of all, you already are. All I'm telling you is what you already are. I can't really just bless you. God blesses you. Now I can speak a blessing over you, but you got to realize, someday you got to realize people don't control your life. God does. But we don't come to church just here. I'm blessed, blessed, blessed. You're blessed, 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 blessed. No, we come here to learn how to live this life. We get soul training. We're learning in our mind, will, and emotion, in our soulish realm, how to be able to handle things so that when you get over there and they do have alcohol at your relative's house and you didn't think they were going to have it, you know how to conduct yourself. We teach our teens that in teen class. That practice, practice before you get to the party where they have the weed. What you going to do before you get to the party where the weed's at? What you going to say? We're training our grandchildren right now. We're training them right now. 6, 7, and 8 years old. We're training them right now what to do if somebody comes up and want to give you something. One of the things we told them, tell them you're in training. Because you like baseball and basketball, and so you can't mess yourself up. One of them wants to be a pilot and a policeman. Tell them you're in training. And if that don't work, tell them you're in training for heaven. And you sure ain't messing that up for them. You have to prepare yourself. You got a holiday. In fact, you got this one, and then you got the Christmas thing, and you know they always want to buy some Christmas whiskey. And then you got New Year's, and you know they're going to drink then. That's why you need to come up here in this church so you're not tempted out there where they have all these old drinks. You can come up in here and get drunk with the Holy Spirit instead of avoiding this service and going to find your drink somebody with somebody. It got to be other people that don't believe in Jesus. You got to go around them because you don't want to come around the Christians because you want to drink on New Year's Eve. You got to get drunk to get there. You don't even remember what it's like transferring from one year to the other. And some of you, you've talked to me, you've dealt with this. And you're sick of it. You've been sick of it. Now, this is not a nice sermon, but I'll have one, I promise, next week. Three things about business people. I'm gonna drop this and then I'm gone. I've got 6 minutes, 5 minutes, and is that right? 5 minutes, is that 3 minutes? 21, okay, that's saying 21, that's not right. Okay, whatever. It's a timer, so it's counting me down. Okay, yeah, it's pretty correct. Okay, I got a couple of minutes, okay? Now, I want to talk about whose business you working on. Mm-hmm. Now, all of these go together because the Father, our God, just like the prodigal son's father, have business. Now, this is the last thing we think about when we think of church. We think it's so ecumenical. It's so ecclesiastic. It's so religious. It can't have any kind of business to it. This whole thing we're doing is God's business. And that's why you respect your job more than you respect God's business for a lot of people. You wouldn't be this late on your job because that businessman will kick your rear end and kick you out with your last check following you. We ain't that stupid. And everybody you work with or work for is in business. Even if you work for the government, you're working in the governmental business. If you work for a hospital, that is the medical business. You work for an insurance company, it's the insurance business. You work for aircraft people, it's the aviation business. You work for the prisons, you're working in the prison business. You work for anybody, you work in the politics, it's the political world of business. God should be the number one business you're concerned about. Jesus was very young when he expressed this. It's not something to play with. But for a lot of us, we forgot that. And we become busy bodies. We're busy, but we're busy in the wrong way. Just trying to help. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 14. And verse number 15, 1 Peter 4:15. Okay, I gave the scripture this time. 1 Peter 4:15, 4:15.
But let none of you suffer. How many? None of you suffer as a murderer. You can murder with your mouth. Did you know that? You kill people every day talking about them like a dog. Or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as, and look what's put along with it, a busybody in other men's matters. Some of us, all we want to know is what everybody else, what they're doing. We're just busybodies. But when it comes to the business of the kingdom, we don't know nothing about that. We don't care about the kingdom business. But we want to know everybody else's business. Are you kidding me? Is that what happened to her? What did she say? And he said what? And she, and then, ooh, you know what I would do? I told you what I'm going to try. I'm going to give it. Do you know that's sin? They're not there, and you're talking about them like a dog. Sure is quiet. I didn't know I pastored a Presbyterian church. It's serious. God hates murmuring. Or as a busybody in other men's matters, or in another translation, it does say business or something close to that. Now, there's another scripture. 1 Thessalonians chat. So when you get to the, I'm chat. This is Thanksgiving training. You can thank me later, but this is Thanksgiving training. When you get there and they start talking about so-and-so who's not there, don't get in with them. Boy, some of you are looking like, what? Are you kidding, Pastor? Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 9 through 12. Now, this is practical teaching I'm doing right now. I know what God gave me to do. I'm just fulfilling my assignment. But as touching brotherly love, this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 9. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. You're supposed to love everybody around you, not hate them. This is just what God says. I'm a Christian. Well, where's love? You know, to love one another, and indeed, you do it toward all the brethren, which is good, which are in all Macedonia. He was complimenting them. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase, you're already doing it, but increase more and more. Love your brothers and sisters in Christ, especially more and more. This should be your crew. Should be your gang. They're being taught the same thing you're being taught. They're being brought into the same thing that you're being brought into. This should be your crew. I'll be done. Don't worry. It'll be over in a couple minutes. And indeed, you do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more, and that you study, underline this, to be quiet.
Oh, gosh, I wish people would shut up.
Study. You ever studied that? Any ever taken a course and just shutting up? In other words, stop gossiping. Study to be quiet. It gets worse. Study to be quiet and to do your own business. Get out of everybody else's business. You know about everybody, what's going on. You know the latest gossip. On that phone, on that, you know, social media stuff, running back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. That is not godly.
He says, give you some time to think about it.
So we are to study our own business. I mean, study to be quiet and to do our own business and to work with your hands as we commanded you, that you walk honestly toward them that are outside of the things of God, translating my way of saying it, and that you may have lack of nothing. In other words, if you do this, you're not going to be lacking stuff.
Sometimes running our mouth is what causes God to say, I can't do it for him. I'm not going to do that right now. You got to clean up your behavior, just like your kids. They tearing up the house and throwing everything on, breaking all the lamps and all that stuff. You're going to sit there and say, here's your allowance and a bonus. Baloney, you ain't getting nothing. You ain't getting nothing. Well, it's my allowance. No, it ain't. It. Not now. You got to change your behavior. Stop hitting your brother. Stop knocking your sister in the head. I mean, stop it. Act right. We're God's children. And God wants us to get along. And if you got a hurt to get along anyhow. There's a whole lot of people don't like you. Don't like me. And, you know, some of y'all don't like me, and some of y'all don't like you either. So there, I said it. But we gotta still get along. We still got to love one another. You may not like me, but you got to love me. You got to love me. You better love yourself some Pastor Shada up in here. Mm-hmm. I can't stand him. I don't like him. Well, you better love me anyhow. And I'm going to keep preaching like this, too, until you do. I'm getting them, girl. See, we got to, because see, we don't know why we lack. And God don't want you to lack. And he don't want me to continue because I'm out of time. So that's it. We're done for right now, all right? Let's say, thank you, Lord. Say, thank you, God, for what I did receive. God, in Jesus' name, help me to improve myself. During this holiday season, I say no to alcohol. I say no to the gossip. I say no to the things that may be stopping the flow coming to me. God, forgive me for anything that I received today that hit me hard, and allow me to grow in you so that I can be the one that you can use as an example. Help me to love more and more, even if it hurts, God. Help me, and I'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph.